Welcome to Behold and Become, a podcast about faith with me, Robert Black. I hope that you all are doing well. No, I am not bringing back Behold and Become on a permanent basis, but as I mentioned, from time to time, I will be releasing some content as I'm able to. There was a conversation on Reddit not too long ago about podcasts in the Anglican and Episcopal world, and someone mentioned Behold and Become as a recommendation, and one person mentioned to me how much they appreciated the series that I did a year or two ago in Advent, taking a look at the Advent characters. Well, this Holy Week, all of the sermons that I am preaching are focusing in on one character in each sermon. And here at my parish, we do a very robust Holy Week. We have lots of liturgies. And so there are 9 sermons that I'm preaching this week. One of them is the Easter Vigil. And so it doesn't quite focus in on just one character, but there are the eight other sermons, though, really sort of consider the events of Holy Week through just one character on each day. So in a similar vein to that Advent series I did a couple of years ago, I thought that this Holy Week series on the characters of this week might be of interest to you all. So I will be sharing those sermons on this podcast feed as they are preached and become available. But know that I appreciate your listening and look forward to continuing to release episodes and series from time to time when I am able to. Hope that you all have a blessed Holy Week. O God of love, help us to find our place in the holy drama of this week, that we might encounter anew the grace and wonder of our salvation. Amen. What does love smell like? Perhaps the aroma of a freshly baked apple pie at Grandma's house? Maybe coming home to smell a recently cleaned and lemon fresh house? The perfume or cologne of a lover? The scent of flowers in the spring? One poet has said, smells are surer than sights or sounds to make your heartstrings crack. And it's true. The sense of smell for many of us is the most evocative. So what does love smell like? This Holy Week, each sermon is focusing on one character in the day's readings. And that's not to say that the other characters or the themes don't matter. It's just by focusing on one person, we can find different entry points into the drama of our salvation that is unfolding this week. Yesterday, on Palm Sunday, we considered the Jewish crowds. Tonight, on Holy Monday, we focus on Mary of Bethany. Now, there are a lot of Marys in Scripture, particularly in Holy Week. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus, nor is she Mary Magdalene. And this Mary is not one of the other Marys who is identified as the mother of Joseph and James. No, this is Lazarus and Martha's sister, Mary. She was a patron of Jesus' ministry. Now, I know we tend not to think of Jesus having financial supporters, but being an itinerant prophet and preacher did not pay well, or at all. In Holy Week, Jesus and his disciples spent their nights in Bethany. So this family was providing food and lodging for a group of 13. It's also quite likely that throughout Jesus' ministry, Mary was one of those whose generosity supported his ministry. Now, this is not a stewardship sermon, but it does remind us of the importance of supporting those in ministry. And given her actions in the reading from John, we know that she was a woman of considerable financial means. This act of anointing Jesus' feet with perfume is an act of pure extravagance. Scholars tell us that a pound of pure nard was roughly equivalent to a year's salary. In our terms, we're talking about $60,000. That is quite the gift. It seems excessive, and perhaps it is. But there's a lesson in this abundance. Nothing is ever wasted if it is spent on love. Now, we are all busy people. Even if we are well off, we would all rather have an extra zero at the end of our bank account. We only have so much energy to give. And sometimes it can feel like a small and insignificant thing to do something like sending a text message to someone going through a hard time, or mailing a card to someone, or buying someone a cup of coffee, or giving a gift to a charity that's facing so many needs, serving a meal at Rowan Helping Ministries when so many people will still be hungry in our community. We might be tempted to think, what's the point? Am I really making a difference? The example of Mary is a resounding yes. All actions done in and for love matter. In fact, when this event is recorded in Matthew, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." In the end, compassion matters, generosity endures, and love is never wasted. It's the same truth we see throughout this week, that the life and love of Jesus are what makes all things well, even if his life is taken from him in the most degrading and tragic of ways. Now, this doesn't mean that love is always easy. The cross makes that obvious, but so does Judas' complaint. He says this perfume could have been sold and given to the poor, and he's not wrong. His error is not based in fact. Rather, his mistake is asking the wrong question. Judas was locked into binary thinking. It had to be this or that. Either we help the poor or we honor Jesus. This sort of thinking is emblematic of the gridlock that we know so well today. We live in an either-or world, whereas God seems to be much more about both and. We can serve the poor and lavish Jesus with love. We can give to support both the arts and the homeless. We can find time to both pray regularly and to spend time with our family. We get into so much trouble when we put things into competition that are both on the side of goodness. Mary understands this lesson, a lesson she learned from Jesus. We do not have to ignore one good thing in favor of another good thing. One act of charity does not negate another. Both is always an option when it comes to love. And this love that Mary shows, John tells us, fills the home. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, and that's how love is. You give just a little bit, and it's something like the mustard seed or the yeast that Jesus spoke about in his parables. Just a little bit of leaven makes the whole dough rise, or a tiny seed becomes the grandest of all shrubs. You know, it's fascinating that Jesus says, she bought it, speaking of the perfume, she bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. Now, one of the themes throughout the Gospels is that the disciples don't get it. They don't quite understand Jesus when he very clearly tells them that he will be killed. Now, Mary of Bethany, she is not one of the 12 disciples. Presumably, she did not follow him around Galilee and hear all of his teachings. But she understood the trajectory of his ministry. We might even say that her act of anointing Jesus' foot prefigures the washing that will come on Maundy Thursday. Sometimes the insiders miss the most obvious things because they assume they know how everything works. It's why the church works best when we listen to new voices, to marginalized perspectives, to those who have a different approach. Because even when the other disciples don't, Mary of Bethany sees the cross on the horizon. And this is not the only time that Jesus is going to be anointed for burial. On Good Friday, we will hear that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus hastily anoint the body of Jesus after his death before the beginning of Sabbath rest. Mary of Bethany also anoints Jesus. And I am not suggesting that Joseph's or Nicodemus' anointing was not a good one or a proper one. But we cannot ignore the fact that Mary showed this love while Jesus was still alive. For one, again, it demonstrates that she understood what was about to happen to Jesus. But it was also a bold move to anoint a still living person with burial spices. She risked being ridiculed. But for Mary, showing love is more important than keeping up a reputation. Telling someone how much they mean to us while we still have the chance matters. You might know the quote, "Life is short. We don't have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk this way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind." It's a truth that Mary knew and expressed. Do not wait until it is too late to say thank you, or I'm sorry, or I love you. Mary of Bethany is a pivotal player in Holy Week, because in her devotion, she points us to Jesus' devotion and compassion for us. As we know from Scripture, we love because God first loved us. Mary knew the love of God in Jesus, which enabled her to respond with a generous, abundant, and extravagant love. So what does love smell like? We pray that God would grant us the boldness to love and find out.